And begin to appreciate the mighty one. Lift up his name, exalt him, praise him, appreciate him for the privilege he has given us to be here once again. The privilege he has given us to be gathered in his name. Appreciate him, appreciate him, appreciate him.
Many are dying.
Appreciate him.
Many are perishing. Whatever I am now, it is by your
somebody worship him. Appreciate him. Giving you time, exalting.
Glorious in your ways.
See your way.
Oh, tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. Tell him good morning. Praise him. Appreciate him. God, we thank you for the privilege you've given to us. Thank you for making us your children. That is why we can gather in your name today. Thank you for the breath of life. Thank you for the salvation of our souls. Thank you for the grace you've given us to be alive to witness today. Receive all the glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the privilege to come for fellowship. We know today that you will bless us with your word. We know you will fill us with your spirit. We know you will reveal yourself to us, and we know that you will lift up all our burdens. For this, Lord, we praise your name. Accept our thanksgiving today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, this day, as we've gathered in your name, hear our prayers. Receive our worship, our praises, receive our offerings, and at the end of this service, let us be blessed that we came. Thank you, Father, for all you've done. In Jesus Christ's name we've prayed. Can we put our hands together for the Lord as we take our seats? God bless you. Be seated. And good morning to the rapturable people. I'm still saying it and I stand to be corrected. If you cannot meet up for service without a justifiable reason, you are not rapturable. Don't ask me where did I see it in the scripture. Apostle Paul said, does not nature teach you? Should I show you where it is in the scripture? That if you don't meet up with service, you're not going to rapture. Should I show you? Is in John 16, verse 13. It says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's the scripture. Because how can you say you have the Holy Ghost and you have a meeting time with the Lord and no justifiable reason you came late? Our men and women, you know now, if we are to go for our business, we know we cannot be late. If you are called upon to pick up a check by 8 a.m. on Lagos Island tomorrow, especially in this economy, somebody should just say you have a check of 50 million naira waiting for you. Please, what time will you be there? Somebody say, oh, do vigil. you keep vigil in that place. So please, I'm only saying it to encourage us that come early. You are doing something very, very, in fact, you are spiritually responsible. So please put your hands together for yourself. See my mommy there, mommy, praise. Mommy. Maybe they don't know where mommy is coming from. Mommy, where are you coming from? For you to know is about discipline. Give mommy praise. No, mommy praise. Mommy praise is what I was referring to. For you to know is about discipline.
From Lekki, please.
I've been to her house once and I know how far it is. So it's not about, no, let's remove some excuses. Keep business. In fact, someone like her that is coming from such a far distance, than me that I'm coming from Agor. Before God, she's exhibiting greater faith than me. Because we are both here. at the appropriate time. So I'm always saying it, please be encouraged. This is sign of maturity, spiritual maturity. Don't let anything keep you from coming early to the presence of the Lord. The early comers to God's presence receive great blessings. And the Lord will surely bless us today in Jesus' name. Okay, so please, without wasting much time, let's continue where we stopped. We have been trying to exonerate Brother Judas. We have been trying to prove to the whole world that Judas is a lovable brother. That Judas is not a devil. That Judas is saved. The problem with us is religion. The problem with many people, many Christians today, is religion. And religion is an established system, you know, of worship. In religion, there's nothing like progressiveness of revelation. Religion is dead. Religion is when you have a set of moral laws. Do this, do this, do this. But Christianity is far beyond that. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, our apostle told us that in the gospel of Christ, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And we have taught us in this church that that faith there is not confidence or trust, it's revelation. And then he said, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is one of the reasons why we say that you are looking for where it is expressly written, pay your tithe. It is through revelation you will catch it. I don't know if you understand. You are looking for where it is written, don't drink alcohol. It is through revelation you will catch it. The New Testament is not a book of do's and don'ts. It's beyond that. If Apostle Paul were alive today, he would still be writing letters to churches. Are we together? But we have enough written to give us our salvation. So it is from faith to faith. And that is why we are saying that if you understand what took place in the life of the Lord Jesus, redemption, you will not condemn Judas. We are not, please pay close attention, brethren. We are not saying that the actions of Judas are acceptable, like betrayal and other things like that. No. We are trying to let you know that this is redemption. It is not a normal scenario. Once you can establish that, anything we are saying, you'll be able to accept it. Somebody will say suicide. Calm down. We are looking at redemption. In the previous class, we proved that Jesus Christ did not die by accident. He actually came to die. His death was intentional. And the Lord Jesus himself said that no man can take his life from him. So when you hear this statement of Jesus, how can you say it is Judas that caused his death? No. So if you can understand this, you will know that whatever we are saying is simple. So in case you missed the previous class, you can get the first part. We proved that Judas was not condemned because no man took the life of Jesus or had the power to take Jesus' life. That's point number one. If you can have the slide again so that we can recap. Jesus offered his life by himself. Point number two says, everyone involved in the death of Jesus. This slide, please. This slide. Everyone involved in the death of Jesus, we are chosen. The points. The next slide. Thank you. God determined and planned the death of Jesus because it was the price of redemption. So that was redemption at play. So everything involved in the death of Jesus, you are not going to look at it with the normal human eye. It is God doing something. It was redemption. So everyone involved in it, they were playing a serious role, ordained by God, planned by God. They were playing a script written by God. Point number two, no man took the life of Jesus or had the power to. Jesus himself offered his life, and we proved it. We read many scriptures. Point number three, everyone involved in the death of Jesus were chosen for it. Like Joseph's brethren, they did it ignorantly. Now, I will say something when I finish recapping. Number four, Jesus prayed for the forgiveness of those involved in his death. And the prayer was, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. So how can you hear such a prayer and still be condemning? The Bible says, who can lay a charge to God's elect? It is God that justifies it. Who is it that condemns it? Through this prayer, everyone involved in the death of Jesus has been settled, set free. So why are you still condemning Judas when Jesus prayed for his forgiveness? Point number five, where we stopped last week, and I'll try and be fast today so that we can take questions and round this up. Because next week is our Thanksgiving and then camp, we might not have the time to stress this any further. The harsh statement of condemnation against Jesus was against Judas. Was Jesus speaking as a man? When he's saying, one of you is a devil, he was speaking out of the pain. We read all those scriptures. We saw that he did not, he said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. He knew he was going to suffer. And now you go make me suffer. God punish you. That was what was happening. But to do the Father's will, I must suffer. It is like when Apostle Paul made a statement in Romans 11. Please, let's quickly see something in Romans chapter 11. For you to understand how mysterious our God is. Romans chapter 11 verse 28. Let's take it from verse 28. Just follow this reading. Romans 11 from verse 28. This is concerning Israel. It says, as concerning the gospel, Israel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Verse 29. For the gift and calling of God, I will tell repentance. Verse 30. He says, for as ye in time past have not believed God, yet you have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. So have this also now not believed, that through your mercy they may obtain mercy. That is it. Apostle Paul was saying something. That for the gospel, because the Jews rejected the gospel and they were persecuting the apostles. He said they are enemies for the gospel's sake. But for the Father's sake, they are beloved. So as a man, Jesus can hate Judas because you will cause me to suffer. But if I will bury my will and subject my will to the Father's will, Judas is actually my friend. Whereas Peter did not want me to go to the cross, I turned and I called Peter Satan, because you are concerned about my flesh, about the things that please man, not about the things that please God. But you see Judas. Judas is actually there to fulfill the Father's will. Then when Judas came to kiss him, what did Jesus say? Friend. It's no accident. When Judas came to kiss Jesus, Jesus looked at him and said, friend, why have you come? Friend. Are we together? So please, brethren, don't be stumbled. We are not saying that the actions are, we are only telling you that this is redemption. Now, note something, brethren. Let's go on. We are still in point number five. I still want to stress point number five. But before then, do you know, because we said the story of Joseph and his brothers is a type of what happened. I want to ask a question. You may remove the slide for a minute. I want to ask a question. Joseph's brothers sinned against him. Is that right? We read the scriptures now. Is that right? But Joseph forgave them. That means they did not pay for it. Abi, did you see anywhere they paid for it? But do you know that there were other sins that they committed that they paid for? Let's read it. Genesis 49. The first son of Jacob, Reuben, slept with his father's concubine. Because of that, he lost the rights of the firstborn, the birthright. We'll read it. Genesis 49. Let's take from verse 1. Genesis 49 from verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength. You are the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, you will not excel. Can you hear the curse that he placed on his son? Why? Because you went up to thy father's bed. You defiled it. You went up to my couch. Verse 5. He left Reuben, went to the second and third born. Simon and Levi are brethren. Instrument of cruelty are in their habitations. Oh my soul, come not down into their secrets. Unto their assembly, my honor, be not thou united. For in their anger, remember when they killed the man that defiled their sister? In their anger, they slew a man. And in their self-will, they dig down a wall. Hear the curse. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce. And their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So the first three sons missed the birthright. That is why it came to Judah. That was why Jesus came from the lineage of Judah. Do you get what I'm trying to stress? They committed other sins that they paid for. But if you read the entire chapter 49, nothing was said about what they did to Joseph. Because Joseph told them, you thought it unto evil, but it is God that sent me here to save you people. So they could not bear any consequence from their action to Joseph. But all that sins that they committed, they suffered it. What is that teaching us, brethren? Judas is involved in the play of redemption. Without Judas, the blood of Jesus will not be shed. And if the blood of Jesus were not shed, you and I will not be saved. So as the brethren of Joseph were exonerated from their sin, so is Judas exonerated from whatever he did. Simple. Put your hands together for the Lord if you are getting it. Why I'm saying it with passion is that there are some funny questions that some of us ask. Wondering, we are not saying we are looking at redemption. You must have that at the back of your mind that what we are looking at is redemption, not a normal scenario. Are we together? We are looking at redemption. So let's move on. Point five, where we are. The last statement of Jesus. Point five, IT, the slide now. The harsh statement of condemnation against Judas was Jesus speaking as a man. We read this. When he says, woe unto you. When he called him, there are two things that Jesus said about Judas. Three things. The first one, he said, one of you is a devil. And we have proved that. He called Judas a devil. He called Peter Satan. You must understand why he says so. We have proved that. The second thing, he said, woe to him through whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Two things. Speaking as a man. And then secondly, because for his role in the death of Jesus, you saw what Judas suffered. Judas committed suicide. So somebody could say that that was the woe coming to pass. And then up to today, many people still hate Judas. It is part of the woe. Are we together? So you must understand that. But the question you should ask is, how will the blood of Jesus be shed without the action of Brother Judas? Now, point number six. The idiom is an idiom. Son of perdition describes one that leads someone to destruction or loss. How can you say son of perdition is saved? Firstly, go and understand the meaning of son of perdition biblically. It is not always eternal damnation. Son of perdition is one that is leading somebody to loss, whether a physical loss or a spiritual loss. Two people were called the son of perdition in the Bible, Judas and the Antichrist. For Judas, he was speaking of the physical loss. Judas is called the son of perdition because he led Jesus to the cross. For Jesus to be lost physically, to die physically. But the Antichrist is called son of perdition because he's leading people to eternal damnation. Who did Judas lead to eternal damnation? Nobody. Are we together? So when you see son of perdition, the meaning is one ordained to lead someone to destruction or loss, physically or spiritually. And then Judas led to his physical loss. See John chapter 17 verse 12. This is where Jesus used the statement. John 17 verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost. None of them is lost. But who? The son of perdition. That the scripture might be fulfilled. Which loss? We are reading only verse 12, please. Which loss was Jesus talking of? He's not talking of IT pull verse 12 now, please. We are reading only verse 12. He's not talking of eternal damnation, brethren. None of them is lost. Because from all of them, the only person that left his place and died was Judas. So it's not eternal damnation. Perdition does not always mean eternal damnation. Perdition means loss, either physically or spiritually. So don't always see perdition as anytime you see perdition, it means that the person is going to hell. It is loss or destruction, and it could mean physical loss or spiritual loss. And in the context, what Jesus was saying was that Judas was physically lost. When he was offering this prayer, the other disciples were there. The only person that was not there was who? Judas. He was offering this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. That was when Judas went to bring the soldiers and the chief priests and everybody. The only person that was not there was Judas. So that is part of the physical loss. And then from the 12 apostles he chose, the only person that left his place and died was Judas. And it was for a purpose that the scripture, verse 12 where we are reading, John 17, 12, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Are you seeing it? Is somebody seeing it? Brother Namdi, are you seeing it? That the scripture might be fulfilled. Somebody shout hallelujah. Let's move on. I want to be fast so I can take some questions. Point number 7. Point number 7. The sin of Judas was that he exposed the secret place of Jesus to his enemies. This one is a bit controversial, but I want you to give me scriptures if you disagree with me. Judas had no idea that they will condemn Jesus. Hey. Judas thought that if they tried Jesus according to the Jewish law, they will leave him. But you know what they did? Instead of them, the chief priests, to try Jesus according to the Jewish law, they took him to Pilate, a Gentile. Even when Pilate was telling them, try him according to your law, they started lying. It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That's not true. Under the law of Moses, if you find a man blaspheming, the law says you should stone him. You people are accusing Jesus of blasphemy. Why are you not putting him to death? But they lied to Pilate. It is not lawful for us because they know that he was innocent. So Judas thought that if they tried him under the Jewish law, brethren, Judas was not part of the plot to kill Jesus. So I'm still insisting that the problem is religion. That's the problem. We have followed a particular tradition so much that we don't want to open our hearts to allow the light of the scriptures to shine on us. Matthew 27 verse 3. Please show it. Matthew 27 verse 3. Some people did not read it. Let's read it again. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, what did he do? He did what? Because he didn't know. Does this sound like somebody that premeditated the condemnation of Jesus? He didn't know they were going to kill him. That is the truth. He knew that they wanted Jesus. But the plot to kill Jesus was among the chief priests and the elders. Judas was only that. I know that they are after Jesus. Several times they want to stone him. What will you give me? Let me betray him unto you. Thinking if you try him according to the law, he might be free. But the next thing was, he saw that contrary to his expectation, Jesus was condemned. That was why Judas could not bear it. Judas had no plan. He had no impute in the condemnation of Jesus. He was condemned. He was so pained that he could not even forgive himself. That was what led to him killing himself. So how can you say that this man did this man did that? That was not his sin. He had no idea. Read it very well. Let's read another one. Mark chapter 14, verse 10 to 11. Mark 14, 10 to 11. I don't know, our online members connected, or should we pause? Please send me feedback. Should we stop a little? Okay, audio problem. That means they cannot hear. Wow. Somebody shout hallelujah. Please, so everybody must hear. I don't want to start receiving questions that we have settled. Okay, let's read Mark chapter 14 from verse 10. We apologize. The online members are actually cut off. Sorry about that. We have more people online than those of us physically here, so they are part of the church. But let's read it. Mark chapter 14, rather, verse 10 to 11. I'll read if you don't have your Bible. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. That was his sin. He had no idea that their plan was to kill him completely. That's the truth. If he did, why was he sorry when he saw that they condemned Jesus? But somebody will say, no, now what do you mean? The statement we read in Matthew 27, verse 3 and 4, does that sound like somebody that had a plan to kill the Lord Jesus? Praise the living God. Father, to you, Lord, be all the glory. To you, Lord, be all the glory. To you, Lord, be all the glory, O Lord, adoration forevermore. Please, are we back? Notify me if you are back. IT, communicate with me, please. If you are good to go, put Matthew 27. We are not. And you told me to take a pause, and you are still showing me. Father, to you, Lord,
be all the glory.
Amen. We can continue. Audio is restored. Please show Matthew 27, verse 3 and 4, if we can continue, please. Matthew chapter 27, verse 3 and 4. Brethren, we apologize, but we are unstoppable. In the apostolic generation, they didn't use a public address system, so bear with us. Can we have Matthew 27, verse 3 and 4? Thank you. Can we put our hands together for the Lord, church? Don't worry, just bear with us. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, this is where I was referring to, when he saw that he was condemned, what did he do? He did what? He had no idea that they were going to kill him. I'm still saying so. This scripture makes it clear. If he knew that this was the plot, why will he, after seeing that they condemn him, why would there be a change of heart? So the problem is not the Bible, it's how we have been reading the Bible. That's the problem. Judas had no idea they were going to kill Jesus. He only thought it. Why? Because he was a Jew. And of all the disciples, he was the only one from the tribe of Levi. He was from the tribe of the priesthood. We'll show you that that itself is even significant. So he thought if Jesus were tried under the law of Moses, they would let him go. And me, I have made quick money. 30 pieces of silver. Sharp, sharp. But my master is saved. There is no place in the Bible that says that Judas hated Jesus. If he hated him, when he saw he was condemned, why was he so pained that he went to kill himself? So let's open our mind. Then point number 7, let's move on. Point number 8 rather. Can we have the slide? Point number 8. Point number 8, please. Judas repented. That's the 8th point. Judas did what? Repented. Not only did he repent, what did he do? He judged himself according to the law. Let's read Matthew 27, verse 3 and 5 again. The repentance of Jesus was intentionally recorded so that religious people that have condemned him will set him free. Matthew 27 from verse 3. Matthew 27 verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, what did he do? At church, read with me now. It's like many of us don't like Judas. So anything we are saying, we have blocked our head. Anytime you give your son Judah or praise, know that you are calling him Judas. The meaning of Judas is Judah, and it means praise. So whether you hate him or not, is relevant. And without him, you'll not be saved. He repented himself. Not only did he repent himself, he did restitution. What did he do? So for you people that think that he loved money, he didn't know the extent of what they were going to do. He brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Verse 8, what did he say? Verse 4 rather. Next verse, what did he say, please? Oh, somebody is slowing down our anointing this morning. Let me be reading from here. Saying what? I have sinned. In that what? Ha! let me stress something. To the chief priests and elders, was Jesus innocent? They found him innocent, quite all right. But to them, he was guilty because he was doing things contrary to what they believed. But what is Judas saying? I have betrayed the innocent blood of all the people involved in the death of Jesus. None repented and restituted up to what Judas did. It is not recorded of the same chief priest that Jesus said, Father, forgive them. It is not recorded that they repented. Even when Jesus resurrected, the chief priest bribed the soldiers, go and tell the people that they stole him. But while Jesus was condemned, he brought the silver and said, no, I have sinned. Are you telling me that this person is as sinful as you have painted him? Yeah, you're saying he like money. How many of us we say that we are completely pure and holy? There is no single work of the flesh manifesting in our life. Let him that is without sin cast the first stone upon Judas. Let him that is without sin cast the first stone upon Judas. If he liked money that much, why did he still bring it back? So he's not as sinful as you claim him to be. He repented and he brought back. Let's read. We are still reading. Verse 4. Saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. Are you seeing repentance, restitution? What did he do? He cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and did what? Why did he go and hang himself? What is the point? Back to the slide. Judas repented and judged himself according to the law. Because under the law, Leviticus 24 verse 17, for you to know why Judas killed himself, it was not suicide per se. Judas was judging himself. What does he say? Shall we read it? 1, 2, go. And he that killeth any man, what shall happen to him? Verse 18. He that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. Next verse. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he has done, so shall it be done to him. Verse 20. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he has caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. Last verse. And he that killeth a beast shall restore it. And he that killeth a man, what will happen to him? The people that should have killed Judas, they are the ones that bribed him. So they were already perverted. The judges, the chief priests that should have brought the punishment on Judas, they were perverted. So what will Judas do? I believe the law of Moses. I know I have killed somebody. I have repented. I have restituted according to the law. Grace has not started then. Under the law, what Judas did was right. You are saying he committed suicide, but heaven is clapping for him. Because the system of administration under the law is different from under grace. Under law, there is no mercy. It is eye for eye. If you kill my brother, the law says I should come after you. Even if you did it by accident. So if you do it by accident, you will run to a place called the city of refuge. But before you get there, if I catch you and kill you, the law will praise me. Because I'm angry that you killed my brother. That's the law of Moses. Under the law, you commit fornication. You must marry that woman. You commit adultery. Both the adulterer and the adulteress will die. They will stone you. Under the law, on your wedding night, if your husband discovers you are not a virgin, they will bring you out and kill you under the law. So Judas was righteous under the law. So for all of you saying he committed suicide, he was under the law. Judas was bringing the punishment of the law upon himself from a convicted act. So it is how you understand scripture that makes it difficult. It is not just suicide. He was judging himself. Don't forget that he was a child of Abraham. And he's not going to go to heaven because of that particular action he did. That he killed himself. He killed himself because he killed another man. And he knows that I must be punished under the law. He repented. He restituted. And so that he will be fine before God, he judged himself. That was what happened. So the hanging of Judas is not mere suicide. It was him bringing himself under the judgment of the law. At that point, grace had not started. They were still under the law. And under the law, Judas was guilty because he killed an innocent man. But the people that should bring the judgment of the law, they were all biased and they were corrupt. So what will I do? The fact that there is no judge does not... It's just like we Nigerians, many of us. If there is no policeman on the road, we break traffic lights. But a truly law-abiding citizen, whether there is police there or not, you stick with the traffic light. So whether there was a judge or not, Judas knew the law and he judged himself under the law. So don't compare Judas with yourself. It was an entirely different scenario. Point number 9. Let's move on. Next slide, next point. Another point you should note is that Judas was anointed to do what he did. Judas was anointed just like the brethren of Joseph. That envy that came upon them, it was God that did it. Because do you know that the brethren of Joseph repented? Let me not read it. You read it later. When they stood before Joseph in Egypt, and they did not know that it was their brother, and Joseph was stressing them, they started complaining that the blood of their brother is upon us. That is why we are suffering all these things. Some people have not seen that scripture. Let's quickly show it. Everything we say, we can prove it from the Bible. Let's show it. When they stood before Joseph, you see what happened. They started complaining that it is because of the blood of their brother. If you see that scripture, just let me know. Chapter 44. Genesis chapter 44. It's between Genesis 42 and 44. I didn't note it down. But if I get it later, I'll call it out because of our time. They were complaining, murmuring among themselves that God is the blood that they shed that is causing all their nonsense, all the things that are passing through in front of Joseph, not knowing that they were standing in front of Joseph. So that means there was actually repentance in their heart. Now let's see it. John chapter 13 verse 1. Judas was anointed to do what he did. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father has given all things unto his hand. Let's rush to verse 26. I'm trying to end this today, so I'm rushing all this. Jesus answered, Jesus told them, one of you will betray me. They were asking, who? Then John asked him, who? He then told John, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Next verse. What happened? And after the sop, what happened? Then what did Jesus say? That you are doing, do quickly. Do you know that Jesus had the power to stop Judas? Jesus told Peter in Luke 22 that Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Why did he not intervene on Judas' sake? But rather, he said, what you are doing, please do fast. Send me to the cross, fast. So he was anointed to do it. That was why when he got himself and he saw that they killed Jesus, so he bent him. So you can say that what St. Judas do, you know, do it with clear eye. You can say so. Are we together? Point number 10. Judas was fulfilling the law. In Matthew chapter 5, please note Luke. That scripture is long. I will not read it because I want to entertain some questions. Matthew 5 verse 17. What did the Lord Jesus say? Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophet. What did he come to do? I am not come to destroy, but what? Brethren, you are not reading with me. Are we that hungry? I am not come to destroy the law, but to do what? Now, let's see one law that Judas was fulfilling. Leviticus. The book of Leviticus chapter 16 from verse 15. Thank you. Before you read Leviticus, the minister has rescued me. Genesis 42 verse 21. God bless you. Genesis 42, 21. What I was referring to earlier. Genesis 42, 21. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. Are you seeing it? So they regretted what they did to Joseph. Did Judas regret what he did to Jesus? But the chief priest and the Jews, did they regret? So who had more rights to forgiveness? Judas or the Jews? So it's how you have been seeing it. Once you can put it in your mind that it is about redemption, you'll be able to excuse any excess of Judas. Let's read on. Luke chapter 16 from verse 15. Luke 16 from verse 15, please. If you read from verse 1, you understand this. This is the day of atonement. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgression in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of the uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and his household for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord. and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger 7 times, and cleanse it, and hollow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Now, verse 20. Read from verse 20, you understand what we are reading. And when he has made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and he shall bring what? The live goats. This is the day of atonement. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goats and confess over that live goat all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them where? Upon the head of the goat. Who is that goat representing? The Lord Jesus now. Are you seeing it? Putting them upon the head of the goat. And he shall send him away. By the hand of who? By the hand of who? By the hand of who? A fit man into the wilderness. There is a fit man that will take that goat that is bearing all the iniquities of the children of Israel. There is a fit man, not just any man. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. But what will happen to the fit man? Okay, next verse. Next verse, verse 24. Verse 25. There's something to say about the fit man. How he said that the fit man will come back. Brethren, that goat is the Lord Jesus, bearing upon him all our sins. But there was a fit man that led Jesus into the wilderness of Calvary. That fit man is Judas. It is a special ministry. It is a special ministry. The goat is the goat for atonement. But the goat must be led by not just any man, a fit man. And that fit man must be a Levite, one of the sons of Aaron. Judas was from the tribe of Levi. He was the one that led the sacrificial goats into the wilderness. The ministry of Brother Judas was a special ministry. Judas had a role to play in the work of redemption. So forgive Judas. He did not do anything bad. Without Judas, we will not be saved. So when Jesus said, "I am fulfilling the law," part of the people fulfilling the law with Jesus was Brother Judas. Somebody put your hands together for the Lord. Let's move on. Let's move on. I want to take some questions. Final point. Verse. Okay, one reason how we know that Judas was from the tribe of Levi. Let's quickly read it. Matthew 27 from verse 5. From verse 3. This is how we know that Judas was from the tribe of Levi. When Judas betrayed him and he saw that he was condemned, he repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have seen him that I betrayed the innocent blood." And he said, "What is that to us? See that to that." And he cast down the pieces of silver. Where? Where did he cast down the pieces of silver? Those that could, in the temple of, in the Old Testament, the temple had a court. The court is like the compound. That is where the people stay. But inside the temple, it is only the Levites that can enter. So where Judas was meeting with this priest was where only the sons of Aaron, the sons of Levi rather, could enter. That is one of the reasons why we know that Judas was from the tribe of Levi. The fact that he could go to that place he went to, even Jesus did not go there. It was forbidden for others. Only the sons of Levi could enter that particular portion where he had that meeting with the chief priest. And the only reason he could enter was because he was of the tribe of Levi. Final point. Reason with me. Jesus did not deal with the weakness of Judas. Why? We said earlier, he prayed for Peter. "You have Satan has desired to finish you, Peter, but I have prayed for you. When you are converted, strengthen thy brethren." Why did he not pray for Judas? And that will bring you to Romans chapter 5 from verse 6. There was a reason. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time," what did God do? "Christ died for who?" Christ died for who? The ungodly. So God was demonstrating mercy and grace. in leaving the weakness of Judas upon him. Are we together? That was why Jesus himself didn't deal with the weaknesses of Judas. He could have dealt with it. But because Judas was fulfilling a role, he allowed Judas to be the way he wanted to be. Somebody put your hands together for the Lord. So I want to take questions now. But before the questions, note something. I said the system of administration under the law is different from under grace. For instance, the thief that repented at the cross repented under the law. So some people will tell you that thief did not get baptized. How can you say water baptism is relevant for salvation? Did the thief, did he die before Jesus' death or after Jesus' death? Before Jesus' death. Grace began on the day of Pentecost. So how God, that thief found eternal life, but did he still not pay for his sin? He paid for his sin now. He was telling the other one, why are you talking to this man like that? That if you are the Son of God, save yourself and us. We are suffering what we paid for indeed. But this man is innocent. But Lord, remember me in your kingdom. Yes, you will be with me in paradise today, but you will still die. Did he not die? He died on the cross. So you can see that whether Judas killed himself according to you, he did the judgment of the law upon himself. That didn't rob him of eternal life. Do you know that when David took Bathsheba's wife and killed Uriah, do you know that David was supposed to die? But if he died, it did not mean that he will not be saved. But because God still had a purpose for David, what did Prophet Nathan tell him? I have taken away thy sin. You will not die. But because of this, instead of David to die, you saw what he suffered. You saw the war that came from his own family. If David had died, JJ, all those things would not have happened. Are you seeing it? So how God deals with man under grace is different from how we dealt with man under the law. So if what is stumbling you is that Judas killed himself, he was only obeying the commandment of the law. Praise the living God. Questions. I'll prefer for you to stand up and ask your question. I will prefer for you to stand up and ask your question. Don't be shy. Any question? Okay, mommy is up. Please be fast. Time is not on our side. Mommy is up. Hold on. Mommy stood up first. No, mommy is a retired police officer. I hope you are not here to arrest me.
Praise the Lord.
For releasing Judas from cell.
Thank you very much for the teachings. Then I want to know why Jesus made that statement.
Which statement?
In Matthew 26:24.
What is the statement?
Open it.
No, say it, mommy.
Yes. Praise the
we
Lord.
Mommy, we have answered this.
The Son of Man goeth
as it is written of
him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It has been good for that man if he has not been born.
Okay, mommy, let me ask you a question. Give mommy the mic. Mommy, don't sit down. If the Son of Man was not betrayed, would he have died?
No.
No, Abby?
But I'm asking.
I'm answering you. I have answered this. I answered it the last time, and that's what we started with. I said two reasons. Firstly, Jesus was speaking as a man, knowing what he will suffer in the flesh. Because saying that woe to him through whom I'm betrayed is contrary to the Father's will. If you did not die, the work of redemption will not be fulfilled. But knowing what he will suffer, he said, let this cup pass away from me. So when he was speaking that way, just like when he called Peter Satan, he was speaking according to the will of the Father. When he called Judas devil, it's because he knows that through you, I will go through suffering. That was why he made the statement. And secondly, knowing what will befall Judas, like the suicide, because Jesus knows ahead. Knowing that this man will kill himself, do this, do that, whoa. Those were the two reasons why he used that language on Judas. Simple.
Thank you very much.
God bless you, ma. Okay, Daddy Joel, Abby, Daddy Joel, brother. If you have a question, just come outside, please. Let's quickly answer them. Or you stand up and notify. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
No, you have answered it somehow. John 17:12.
Yes, you know, son of perdition.
Yes. I'm just looking at the contextual meaning of that statement Jesus made.
Contextual meaning.
That is it. Because said that those he has given me,
none of them is lost.
That's it.
But that's it. The son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Yes. The son of perdition is lost from a few things. Firstly, is lost from continuing his apostolic ministry. Okay. And secondly, is lost physically because he died. But other disciples, you know, when they came to kill Jesus, Jesus said, I am the one you are seeking. If therefore you seek me, let this go, that the scripture might be fulfilled, that of all which thou hast given me, none is lost. So the lost he was speaking of is death, physical death. So the only person that would die from the 12 was Judas. Son of perdition means loss or destruction, physically or spiritually. It's not always eternal damnation, the way we have defined it. I checked the meaning of that word. It's not always eternal damnation. It means physical destruction or physical loss, spiritual destruction or spiritual loss. So Jesus was saying that Judas was physically lost from being part of the 12, and from he was lost physically. He lost his life. That's the meaning. You don't sound convinced, Daddy. What's the problem?
The fact that you have answered the second one too, because I was saying that God is able to do all things.
Thank you, sir.
And since test and weight are growing together, and God can do anything he wants to do, even a tear could have done what Judah did.
No.
Because you have answered it, said that a fit man has to
Thank you. God bless you, sir. You have answered it too. Sister Franca, let's hear you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says in Romans 11:26, it says, for all Israel shall be saved. Then going back to Genesis 49 from verse 1 to 3, the sins of the sons of Jacob, when the gospel will go back to Jews, will there be restored?
The sins of the sons of Jacob. The curse that their father laid on them has already been fulfilled. But under grace, the gospel is to bless us. Definitely all the sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes will be there. They'll be restored. Revelations proves it. They'll be restored. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Please, about two or three more questions before we round up, yeah? Brother Tony.
Thank you very much, sir. Sir, please, I want to ask this simple question. Why was Judas used in the death of Jesus Christ, in relation to John chapter 12, from verse 4 to 6.
John chapter 12,
is that the reason why? That's what I want to say. Yes, sir.
John chapter 12. Yes, sir. Then said to one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, we should betray him. No, if you read that language, you say, which should betray him? Even from John chapter 6, if you read John 6, verse 70, Jesus already knew. Look at what the Bible, what Jesus said about Judas. He was specially chosen before the foundation of the world. John 6:70. Have I not chosen you 12? And when did he choose us? Before the foundation of all. And one of you is a devil. Verse 71. This spake he of Judas Iscariot. So it was when God was writing the script for salvation, God ordained Judas for that role. And like I said earlier, of all the disciples, he was the only one from the tribe of Levi. And he was the only one that was living in Judah. The rest were from Galilee. But he was the only one living in Judah. And he was the only one of the tribe of Levi. So he was specially chosen for that assignment. It was not by chance. God bless you. He was a senior apostle. Two more. Contribution. Okay.
Praise God.
Amen.
Church, praise the Lord. When a man is condemned by the court of law, there are three parties involved, or that will be involved in the death of that man. A criminal is condemned. The court of law is one party. The man that leads the criminal to the rope where he will be hanged is one. The next person is the person that will kick that stool away. So which of these three killed that man?
The one that condemned him.
Is it the one that kicked the stool out, or the one that led him to the rope.
They were only doing their job.
Or the court of law. Who killed him?
The court of law.
It is the court of law.
So it is God that killed Jesus.
So it is God. It is not. The role of Judas is that he led him to the rope.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, two more questions, please. Time is against us. Brother Kelechi.
Contribution.
Brother Kelechi and that daddy. I think the rest. Hold on. Oh, okay. Brachinedo. Okay, let's hear you briefly.
Praise the Lord, church.
Hallelujah.
The issue of Brother Judas is one thing that people who are not revelated will always be confused of. But let's give God a chance to be God. Because in Isaiah 55 verse 8, he says something.
Isaiah 55 verse 8.
Yes. God said,
For my thoughts
are not your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Neither are your ways my ways.
Thank you.
Said the Lord.
Thank you.
So no matter what you are thinking about Judas, God's thoughts overrides God, every man's thoughts.
God bless you, sir. Thank you very much. Brakelechi, let's hear you first.
Thank you so much, sir. So according to the points you made, you said that Judas was fulfilling the law. But in the book of Leviticus 24, the scripture made us understand that, and he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death, mm-hmm, according to the law. And you said that Judas was fulfilling the law.
Yes,
but
sir.
The scripture said that, and he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death, according to the law.
Yes.
So what does that say? Because
you have answered it by the same scripture now. He killed Jesus. So according to the law, because he had a hand in the death of Jesus, he said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. According to the law, that's why he also killed himself, fulfilling the judgment of the law. Thank you for the scripture you quoted. Yes, sir, let's hear that. That's the last question. Some other time, if you have any question on Thursday or some other time, we'll take it. Let's hear you, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for this exposition. But according to your teaching, you said grace started from the day of Pentecost.
That's right.
But in the Old Testament, in Genesis 6:8, he said, Noah found grace. It's the same grace.
Yes.
Moses found grace. And then Noah
found
grace.
I'm talking of grace as a dispensation, not in a personal dealing with some selected men.
Right.
This dispensation, we had this dispensation of the law that ended, and the dispensation of grace that began on the day of Pentecost. That's what I'm referring to. We have treated it in the four works of grace. You can get that teaching and listen to it, sir.
Okay, in this case.
Okay, Sister Chidima, come forward. Sorry, sir. I know you asked the question last week. You'll be the last person. Yes, sir, please.
In this case, if a man should kill another man now that we are under grace, and then that person has been buried and happened to repent, what happens to him?
The Bible says in Matthew 12, let's read it. Let me answer your question, sir. In fact, thank you for asking this question because I forgot a scripture that I didn't quote today. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, to answer you, daddy. Wherefore I say unto you, shall we read together? All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. The only sin that will not be forgiven is what? The blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. So anyone that truly repents will find mercy and forgiveness, regardless of what you have done. Thank you, sir. Stachidima, finally.
Sir, I was discussing with my sister, and I just want to understand very well. You told us that Judas betrayed Jesus,
mm-hmm,
and he was used by God and was destroyed. I just want to understand why God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. God used Pharaoh. He was a servant of God. God hardened his heart and yet still destroyed him. I just want to understand.
The scenario, Pharaoh's scenario, give her the mic. Does he have to do with redemption? Was Pharaoh's scenario, does he have anything to do with redemption? So there's no comparison. Pharaoh was to fulfill a purpose, but Judas had a role in the work of redemption. There's no comparison at all. Pharaoh was not even a Jew. He was not under the covenant of Abraham. Pharaoh was an enemy of the Jews, putting the people of God in bondage. But Judas was helping God to fulfill his purpose. Please, let us clap for Brother Judas.
Wait, continue. Wait. Let's settle this matter today. Ask your question.
Ask.
The general has spoken. Okay, if you have a question, please come forward.
Let's settle this matter today. Ask now or forever, hold your peace. Put on the phone, let them call us online. No question.
Okay, let's hear you, ma'am.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Mine is contribution.
Come forward. If you have any question, come forward.
Mine is contribution. I want to say that maybe why Jesus said, woe unto him that will betray him, talking about Judas. That woe may be because of the people that will not be able to forgive him. And the people that will not be able to understand the role, the good role that he has played. Just as many of us, we are, in fact, we don't want to forgive him. That may be the woe.
Thank you, ma'am. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you for that contribution. Let's hear you first, sir. Daddy has given us opportunity. Give him the mic. Let's hear you.
Shalom, sir. You have any question, come out now or forever hold your peace.
If you surpass my knowledge.
If you disagree, come and tell us you disagree and tell us why you disagree. Let's settle this matter now.
If you surpass my knowledge, the GO is here.
Now me teach him.
Go ahead, please.
Shalom, sir. You said that Judas died under the law. He crucified, he hanged himself.
He judged himself according to the law.
According to the law. I want to know, is there any punishment for him for taking his life? Or is heaven also rejoicing because he has judged himself according to the law?
That is why I emphasize the system of administration. We read it in several scriptures. You take a man's life under the law. The only thing that will appease God is that your life too should be taken. Now, that has nothing to do with your eternal destination because it's judgment. And that is why I use the thief on the cross as an example. That thief was suffering for what he did. He said, we are suffering indeed for what we did. But yet, he had eternal life. Because he was a Jew and because he also accepted the Messiah. So using that as a case study, you can see that Judas still has eternal life, regardless of what he did. He was only judging himself according to the law. Period. Somebody is lifting up a hand. Come forward. We said you should come forward if you have a question. Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay. Please, I want to know, why is our Lord Jesus Christ not referred to the woman that brought him into this world as mother, rather woman?
Judas, we are talking about Judas. So. We are talking about Judas.
Mommy, daddy has answered you. We are talking about Judas today. Some other time you can ask that question. Ranaji.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Well, I want to say something particularly about redemption. Like you said about Judas, you know, I discovered something that the devil uses what is around us to get what is in us. So now, as Christians, I want to say that, like weakness, because I discover in the book of John chapter 12, the Bible recorded that when a woman used costly oil to anoint Jesus, he was angry. And the Bible recorded because he used to steal the money of the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So which means it has been his weakness. And devil uses that weakness to get his mind to be able to sell Jesus.
Certainly.
So I want to say it is still the same thing today. If you don't discover your weakness and deal with it, that weakness we also deal with you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for that contribution. And just to add to that, we always point at the sin of Judas. I hope you know that the other disciples also had the works of the flesh. The other disciples had the works of the flesh. The sons of Zebedee, they were proud and they were also ambitious. They said, let the one sit on the right hand and the other one on the left hand. And see the argument among the disciples, which one will be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Another time, they went to Samaria. They said, should we call down fire to destroy these people as Elijah did? Then Jesus rebuked them. So all the disciples had the works of the flesh. That of Judas was only magnified because of his special role, nothing more. They were not born again. They all had their weaknesses. Nothing more. God bless you. Let's hear you, Sister Deborah. Yeah.
What I want to ask, that you said Judas killed himself according to the law. No, what I want to, the confession is that, and you said he's doing, he's finished the work of redemption. What I want to know, now that he has died, now that he killed himself, is he going to hellfire or heaven?
We have answered it. It has nothing to do with salvation. He's already saved. He's under the covenant of Abraham. He even believed in the Lord Jesus. If that thief at the cross, at that moment, being a Jew, could recognize their Messiah, who recognized the Messiah more than Judas that said, I have betrayed the innocent blood? So he had faith. That was one of the reasons why he could not bear. You must understand why Judas killed himself. The remorse was so much because he knew that I have actually crucified my Messiah. So it has nothing to do. He saved. When we get to heaven, you'll see Judas. He saved. Let's hear you, sir.
Praise God. So,
okay, hold on, please. Praise God, church. There are, okay, contribution from Brother Obina, all the way from Equatorial Guinea. Praise God, church. There are two personalities addressed as son of perdition, yes? One being Judas, and of course, the Antichrist. So, if his sin was not that grievous, why would the Lord address him in such a, this is not a contribution, it's a question, with a damning description. You see the thing, many of us don't listen. I have answered this. I defined perdition to us. It is loss or destruction, physical or spiritual loss or destruction. Why was Judas called the son of perdition? Because he was the fifth man that was ordained to take Jesus to his own destruction. Did Judas destroy me and you? But the Antichrist will destroy many people. The Antichrist will deceive and destroy many people. But Judas did not deceive anybody. Neither did he destroy anybody. Rather, because of what Judas did, you and I are saved. So the perdition of Judas was that he led Jesus to his physical loss at the cross. So it is different from the son of perdition referred to as Antichrist. You must read in the context. God bless you. Let's hear you.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So I still do not understand, because the Bible said anyone that murders one another shall be murdered also. Judas murdered the Messiah. So another person is supposed to murder Jesus Christ, because God said anyone that murders himself will be condemned. So I still don't understand.
No, the law is that he that taketh man's life, but man shall his life be taken. That's why we said that Judas hung himself. Rather, he hanged himself because he has taken man's life and is a believer of the law of Moses. Go and repeat the broadcast today. We emphasized it. Go and repeat it. We emphasized it. God bless you. Let's hear mommy. Okay, mommy, hold on. It's clear. This is a contribution from Brother Innocent from South Africa. For he had made him to be a sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We may also conclude that Judas was made a betrayer so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God bless you, Brother Innocent from South Africa. Judas played a role in redemption. You must not forget that. He played a role in redemption. Thank you for your contribution. Yes, ma'am.
Shalom, sir.
Yes, mommy.
Understand that it has already predestined that Judas will be used for the redemption.
He was the fifth man, yes.
Can you just reconcile it with what the scripture says in Luke 22:3?
Luke chapter 22 verse 3. What does it say? Then entered Satan into Judas. Hey, we said it now. Okay, let me quote John 13.
I think it's Luke 22:23, where he said that Satan entered into the...
We quoted it earlier. John 13:26. After the sup. That's why I said it was Jesus himself that anointed Judas. John 13:26. Can we have it? John chapter 13, verse 26. John chapter 13, verse 26. Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it." Can you see the prophetic action that Jesus did? And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Verse 27. And after the sup, Satan entered him.
Hey. So
who anointed Judas to do what he did?
Jesus.
That's it. You said it. By the time he got himself, the normal Judas cannot subscribe to the death of Jesus. When he got himself, he said, what? I have betrayed innocent blood. No, I must die. So for you to know that he didn't do what he did with his open eyes. Okay, let's hear you, sir.
Shalom, Chan. If a man have a someone that is trafficking in drugs, then the person wants that brother to receive salvation. If the person exposed the secret to that person,
about Judas. Does it have to do with Judas?
Is that your son, Judas? We are talking about Judas.
Okay, thank you. Shalom, Pastor Lumde. God bless you for the teaching. Small grace, sir. Just as John the Baptist fulfilling all righteousness. Thank you very much. When Jesus came to be baptized of him, so also was Judas also fulfilling his ministry for the purpose of our salvation. Well understood. More grace. Brother Richard Moses from Germany. God bless you, Pastor Lumde, for this message. I now see Judas as my brother.
Amen.
Can you give me a little light in this area so that some people will not misunderstand it? Because someone may think and say, if Jesus forgave Judas, he can forgive me. Thanks, Sister Blessing from Spain. Two things. Firstly, I started today by emphasizing that we are looking at redemption. We are saying that the work of redemption was a special work. And redemption had special characters. Part of those characters are the 12 apostles. That is why the Bible says that 12 apostles are what? They are the foundation of that city. So you cannot compare their own dealing, the scenario of those people that were with Jesus physically with us. And apart from that, we have also read, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. If you're a child of God, there is no sin you will commit that God cannot forgive you. But there are some sins you will commit that God can take your life. And when he takes your life, you will end up in heaven. But you have died here on earth. Yet, you are still his child. So that is how I can relate it to us. Not that, I also emphasize this morning, that it was a work of redemption. Now, don't say that I will go and live in sin. Which work of redemption are you doing? You can't go and live in sin now and say, Judas betrayed Jesus, let me too. No, you do anything and God will deal with you. Because redemption, the work of redemption has already been done. Thank you. Let's hear you, man.
Okay, shalom, church. About Judas killing himself, and some people may be saying he committed suicide. Judas knew that he committed sin against an innocent blood, and he also knew that, and he also did restitution and brought everything he collected from them. He already knew that if he go back to them or wait for the chief priest to come and convict him and condemn him, they will not do that because they already knew what they were doing.
That's right.
They already used him to achieve their purpose. That is why when he went to them to give them, according to Matthew 27 verse 4.
He says, see thou to it. What is that to us?
They saw it as his business. Even if he's coming to tell them what is his business.
That's right.
He should suit himself. Already they have achieved what they wanted from him. So nobody was even ready to kill him.
According to the law.
So he went and did that for himself.
Thank
according
you.
To the law.
That is an evidence that Judas was a tenacious believer of the law of Moses. That action shows that Judas, under the law, was very righteous. Reverend Amdi, let's hear you, please.
Good morning, church.
Shalom.
Just for contribution to support you. Let's read on 1 Samuel 28 from 19.
Hello?
Okay, we have a call. Hold on. God bless you, young air.
Shalom, church.
Shalom.
Good morning. My name is Isaac Osha, and I'm calling from Iceland.
And I been no suffering.
I just have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. So, looking at the fact that Judas played a major role in the life of Jesus, and especially in the crucifixion of Jesus. My question is this. What was Judas' stake since Judas took his life committing suicide?
We have answered
according to the dispensation of that time.
We have answered it.
Because I believe because I believe that some persons, their mindset would be that, oh, Judas is in heaven. Some others is that Judas is in hell.
If you've been listening to us, sir, let me just answer you briefly so that others can contribute also. We've said it that Judas has eternal life. What he did was a punishment and he cut short his life on earth. That doesn't affect his eternal destination at all. So the fate of Judas is that he's in heaven. He's saved. That's his fate.
Thank you.
God bless you, sir. Ranamdi.
Praise the Lord, church. Let's read from 1 Samuel 28.
From verse 19.
28 from just 18. That was just summarized.
1 Samuel 28 from verse 18. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his first wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow, hey, thank you, shall thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. God bless you. Thank you very much.
That was Samuel talking to Saul. Verse 31, Saul killed himself.
Saul killed himself in verse 31. Thank you.
Yeah.
God bless you very much. Thank you. He was a Jew. And because of the sins he committed, God pronounced death upon him. And that death, both himself and Jonathan were killed. He even killed himself. Saul took his own life. God bless you. Let's hear you, sir.
Praise the Lord. I believe Jesus actually came and was ordained to die.
Your question.
My question, not really question, my opposition. My opposite stand is on what I saw in the Bible, John chapter 6, verse 39.
John chapter 6, verse 39. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day.
Then John chapter 17, verse 12.
None of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. John 17, 12, let's see it. While I was them in the world, I kept them in thy name. That thou givest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. God bless you, sir. What is your opinion?
Then John chapter 6, verse 17.
John 6, 17. Then Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you?
Sorry. In view of all the scriptures you have quoted and you still have more, what is your contribution?
Jesus said in verse 17, have I not chosen one of you, but have I not chosen you 12, but one of you is a devil?
Did you come late?
Not really.
Did you come late?
No, sir.
He has explained all the scriptures you are quoting. So,
sir,
what do you have contrary to his explanation of these scriptures?
My contrary stand to this is that even in 2 Thessalonians, Jesus called someone the son of perdition.
He has also explained
and
that.
And that son of perdition means that this one cannot be redeemed.
No.
No.
He has already explained it. You didn't listen. That's why I said maybe you came late. So you may meet him personally to have more time to understand it. However, don't kill yourself over it. Whether you see it or not, the hope of glory is not revelation of Judas.
That's right.
It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Don't kill yourself over that.
Let's hear you, sir.
Shalom, church. Peace be with you, sir. My question is this. This work of redemption and salvation, is it purposely planned from the foundation of the world, or is it a mistake from our God that he used redemption to correct it?
Church, what is the answer to that question? It was purposely planned from the foundation of the world.
Secondly, do you agree with me that all these calamities that have been befalling children of God and from the time of Adam and Eve to Judas, do you agree with me? It's the fault of God, because God allows Satan to go with his power, and then God called the whole human race because of Satan's misbehavior.
Thank you for letting us hear your opinion, sir. Actually, if you've been listening to Daddy recently, there's a revelation he has been emphasizing about the ox. The ox that was not kept. Praise God, church.
Sir, he's not hearing you. Sir, sir, come forward again. Sorry. You are angry with God. Come. You are angry with God. Microphone. You are, give him at least talking.
My question is, why should God allow Satan to grow with his power? And why should God, because of Satan, cause the whole virus? Most of the inhabitants of, and this is because it's affecting all everybody.
So now, okay, and you were trying to explain it.
I said, if you've been listening, and brethren, this is why...
Listen to this explanation.
This is why it is good to listen when sermons are going on. What you are asking, recently, Adadi here has been emphasizing
you
it.
You know, if I don't pick it from his something, why did God allow to suffer like this? That's God. Why he came to die, to pay for allowing us to go through what we are going through. Do you know it was God that was dying on the cross on Calvary?
Amen.
Because there is a law, that's where he's trying to quote, in
Exodus 21,
verse 28 down to 30. Read it for him.
Exodus chapter 21, verse 28. If an ox gore a man or a woman,
listen that, very well, though,
that they die, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. But if the ox were wont to push with his own in time past, and it had been testified to his owner, and he had not kept him in, but that he had killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death.
Do you understand it? Do you understand that scripture?
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
You have an animal that is always killing people. And now you own the animal. Instead of you to catch the animal, you left the animal until he went and killed somebody. He said, both the animal and the owner of the animal shall die. Satan is created by God. Instead of God to catch him, he allowed him to go and kill us. Therefore, who created Satan? Microphone. Eh?
God.
So who will die?
Eh?
Who will die?
God is not supposed to die because God is immortal.
Eh?
God is immortal. He is supposed to die.
He is immortal. That is why he came in the flesh.
Yeah.
So that he will die. Woo. Who was Jesus?
No.
Who was Jesus?
Jesus is God.
He was called Emmanuel. What's the meaning of Emmanuel?
God with us.
So who was hanging on the cross?
God.
So now, to pay for what he allows Satan to do for and kill us.
Now my question.
So don't be angry again. He has judged himself. You know, as 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31 and verse 32.
1 Corinthians 11, 31.
Yes.
For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world.
So, God already judged himself. The same thing, Judas also judged himself. He committed a sin, and if you kill, you are supposed to be killed. Since he felt responsible for the killing of an innocent man, according to the law, he should die. So, he judged himself by killing himself. And always note, John chapter 10, I think that should be verse 17 and 18 or verse 18 and 19 or so.
John chapter 10,
verse 17 and verse 18.
Therefore doth my Father love me.
Listen very well.
Because I laid down my life that I might take it again.
Again. What did he do?
Therefore that my Father love me because I laid down my life that I may take it again.
Who is talking?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
He is the one that laid down his life. And then he take it again. Verse 18.
No man taketh it from me.
No man, no Judas can take the life.
But I lay it down of myself.
He is the one that lay it down. over himself.
I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father.
So you will not say. You understand now. But now, salvation is a mystery. Salvation is a mystery. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 6.
1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect.
Yes.
Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
It's a mystery.
Even the hidden wisdom.
It's hidden. Hidden wisdom.
Which God ordained before the world.
Where did he ordain it?
Before the world. Unto our glory.
That what?
Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
It's God that arranged it. And it is that mystery we are understanding. And among all other mysteries, this is the mystery you need to know among other things in working with God that will stop you from hating anybody. That is the purpose of our all these things we are talking. It's not for us to claim we know. So that you will stop hating Judas. Because if not for Judas, you will not be saved. So why will I hate somebody that made a way, whether through his stupidity, his wickedness, or anything, and made my life better? Gave me eternal life. So all this teaching is from tradition that make Judas look like a wicked person. Taught by people who know nothing about the mystery of redemption. The day you know it, you will get to know that all things work together for good. Therefore, you will not hate anybody. You will be filled with love. You will love everybody. Because nothing will happen to a child of God except God allows it. And if he allows it, it is to work out a purpose. Don't hate anybody. That's the whole purpose.
Okay, I think final person. You have anything
more? You still have anything more? I thought I've rounded it up.
Shalom, church. Praise Master Jesus.
Amen.
My question is, God used Judas for redemption. Then my question is that if a true child of God, then people or a witch conspired against him and succeeded over that the child of God. Is that which all group of people will be judged that day?
So what?
If some wicked people walk against a child of God.
Yes, yes, that's George, true child of God.
Okay. I'm Brother Fenn calling from Kogi State.
Okay, we can hear you.
I just want to appreciate the grace of God upon the life of our brother, Olumide.
Thank you.
Just surprised we are having these questions again because Pastor has explained all this in time past.
That's right.
If we all believe that we are saved, without even hearing the word of God call us that we are saved, it was Jesus that he came, and those that crucified him, Jesus himself has prayed for them. He said, God forgive them, but because they don't know what they are doing.
Thank you.
Can that prayer be answered? If that prayer is answered, then why are we in trouble concerning Judas? But we are not even in trouble about ourselves, about our salvation. God used Judas as a fit man. So as Bible has said it, so we should not be trouble about this brother Judas again. He's our brother and he's saved. Thank you. Shalom, church.
God bless you. But God does not murderers will go to hell. Murderers will go to hell. Nobody has power to take another person's life. So, Judas was under the law. That is different. Because even under the law, God was commanding them to kill. But under grace, he doesn't tell anybody to kill anyone. You see, we are under a better covenant. You have to understand it. Praise the Lord. It's the mystery that will help you understand that you are following the right path. Nothing more. It makes you understand salvation clearer and clearer and better and better, and makes you also appreciate the grace of God. Hallelujah. There's a scripture in Galatians chapter 2, chapter 6, verse 2. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2.
Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
What is the law of Christ? It is also part of the mystery of the cross. What is it? To offer your life, sacrifice, so that somebody's life can be better. Can we stand up? Hallelujah. John 13, 35. John 13, verse 35.
By this shall all men know.
Verse 34 and verse 35.
A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another.
That you should love one another.
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
Turn and look at your neighbor now.